You know, it is a great honor to have Andrew Murray with us tonight, and I mean that tremendously. Most of you know his brother, Matthew and Becky have been here a couple of times. They have the orphanage in Kenya, which we... Yes, they're doing fine. They're doing good, and they've had... matter of fact, you know, y'all gave to Palmer's Playhouse last summer. Y'all remember taking the offering for that. They opened Palmer's Playhouse just this last month, and I'm telling you, they've increased their kids. They've went from, I don't even know what the number of what they increased. Do you know what they've increased? But I know that they have, they're taking in infants now and kids, and people are waiting in line to get into that school. And it's just phenomenal what God is doing. And I'll tell you a story of what happened. When they opened the playground, the kids were so excited. And they were playing, and they were playing, and they have their school uniforms on, and they're so proud. And they're just, it's just so humbling to see what God's doing. But while they were playing, for the longest time, other church groups would not let some of the neighborhood kids play with them because they were Christian, and I don't know all the dynamics behind it, but I guess some of them were of different faiths. But when they opened that playground, all of a sudden, all those other kids in the neighborhood started coming up to the fence, watching them kids play on that playground. And they were just watching them, and them kids' eyes were just beaming. Matthew and Becky was saying that they could just see in their eyes how they wanted to get on that playground. So they just opened the door and let those other kids in the neighborhood come play. And the parents have finally allowed them to come in there and play and mix with them. So it's just been a community thing that God has opened the door for them to minister through the whole community. And so it's just an incredible, incredible thing. Those kids are just having a ball, and God has really done an incredible work out there. So, but you all know Matthew and Becky. We love them, support them. But, you know, Andrew in January stepped out to Generation Builders. It's his ministry. He stepped out in faith, just trusting God, and I just appreciate that so much. When we were over in England, me and Jordan had the privilege on a Sunday morning of being at his home church, and we love Pastor David Jones and his pastor, and of course, John and Ann has been here. John has preached for us, and we love John and Ann, but I'm telling y'all, look, I'm going to enjoy Andrew tonight, because I can only tell you something. In a few years, it might be hard to get him here. And I'm not saying that out of anything, because he may be filling stadiums full. That's the kind of man of God he is, that God is opening the doors for him. So we'll just go ahead and take him when we can get him. And when you make it and you're preaching to thousands all over the world, which I know is going to happen because of the anointing that's on his life, just remember us, that give us one date a year that you come back and be with us, and we'll fill this place up. But there's such an anointing on his life, and I appreciate his friendship, his passion, his fire. And I want to tell you, you're going to hear a great word from God tonight. I don't know what he's preaching, but I know it's going to be real, real good. And it's kind of like gravy and biscuits in the morning. It's going to be real, real good. And you can even throw some apple butter on the side. You know what I'm saying? That's how good it's going to be. So I know it's going to be real good. Would you put your hands together and welcome Andrew Murray tonight? God bless you. I love you, buddy.
Wow. Praise God. Wow, thank you for that wonderful introduction. I just hope I don't disappoint everyone. You know, not everyone likes me. That may shock you. You know, I was preaching at a church a few weeks ago, and at the end of the service, a lady came up to me. She said, "I really enjoyed what you had to say tonight." So I said, "Oh, praise God, thank you." And then she said, "But I found your style incredibly irritating." So that just brought me down to earth right there. She said, "Could you not have said all that, but just stayed still?" I said, "I'm sorry, but it's hard to stay still when you're on fire." And I don't think she understood what I was talking about, but God bless her. It is a real, real honor to be here this evening. Before I get into God's word, I just want to let you know that we brought a few resources with us tonight. Just out in the foyer, there are a few teaching CDs that you can get at the end. There's six of them. They're $5 each. This one is called Seeing Jesus, Receiving a Fresh Revelation of the One Who's Crucified, Resurrected, and Glorified. This one's called The Threshold, Crossing Over into Our Destiny. One More Night with the Frogs, Why You Can Receive Your Breakthrough Today. God's Timing, Knowing That All Our Days Are in God's Hands. It's Not Over Until the Barren Woman Sings, How God Turns Our Barrenness into Fruitfulness, and Water into Wine, How God Releases His Glory in our lives and in our churches. So there's all that out there. Also, this is probably the most important thing for me anyway. There's a sign-up sheet out there. If you've got email, I'd love it if as many people as possible, you could put your name and your email address on there, just so that you could keep up to date with where we are as a ministry, so that you can pray with us. It's so important that as we travel around the world, we just got back from Argentina where we're doing 3 weeks of gospel meetings out there. We saw, you know, many, many hundreds of souls come to Christ. And we need God's people all around the world to pray for us. And so if you could put your email address on there, we'd really appreciate that. And also when you get home tonight, if you want to check out our website, it's generationbuilders.org. And on there you can find information about us as a ministry, including some free teaching CDs and, some free teaching articles that you can read, some free blogs that you can download. So all that is on the website. Praise God. Can you all understand me okay? Good. We don't need to pray for the gift of interpretation. We're all good. Wonderful. Why don't we just stand to our feet together? Praise God. Why don't we just close our eyes and just focus on Jesus? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Spirit of God, we thank you for your presence that's here. Haroma shokora fadayana. Shikorama sokora nayada. Haromo sokorama sika romo novodono. Naromo sokorama sima novodono. Father, I pray that tonight there will be a demonstration of your power in this place. I pray that tonight people would have an encounter with the living God, that they would leave this place changed and transformed by your presence and by your word. Father, let the name of Jesus be glorified in this place, in your mighty, mighty name. And God's people said, amen. Praise God. You may be seated, and if you have a Bible, you turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. I want to preach to you about Jesus tonight. Is that okay? Good. Luke 7, verse 11. The Bible says, soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out. Notice that. Jesus is going into the town. The dead person is being carried out of the town. The only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. Then he went up and he touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people. Somebody say amen to that tonight. God has come to help his people. God's not come to condemn his people tonight. He's not come to beat you up over what you've not done or what you have done this week. God has come to help his people tonight. This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding countryside. Praise God for his word. I want you to notice tonight that in this passage, the Bible says there were two large crowds. One crowd is with Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have liked to have been in that crowd. You know, I could just imagine in that crowd, they wouldn't have had a care in the world. That crowd would have been full of joy and thanksgiving and praise and worship and hope and all the wonderful things that come from being in the presence of Jesus. But then the Bible says that there was another crowd. And this crowd, the atmosphere couldn't have been any more different. This crowd are carrying the coffin of a dead boy to a cemetery to bury him. Now, in this crowd of people tonight, I wonder which crowd we're in. I wonder tonight if we're in the crowd that's got problems and issues and heartache, or maybe we're in the crowd tonight that doesn't have a care in the world. Well, I'd love to think that tonight we were here and we didn't have any problems whatsoever. But I suspect that the reality for most of us tonight is that we're somewhere in the middle. And who knows that sometimes tonight we can actually lean a little bit towards this way. I'm so glad that this story is in the Bible, because I'm so glad that the Bible doesn't just paint this picture that in life everything's wonderful, everything's perfect, and you're never going to go through difficulties, you're never going to go through hardship. The Bible, who knows that the Bible is full of real life. Real people, real situations. And this right here is a real woman with a real problem, with a real issue. And the Bible puts it right in the Bible, right in the Gospels to show us that God is interested, not just when things are going well, not just when we're on the mountaintop, but right there where we're at rock bottom, God is there. That God is an ever-present help in time of trouble. And right in the midst of this bereavement, in the midst of this situation, God was going to step in. God was going to turn the whole situation around. The title of this message, by the way, is Collision. Collision. You see, this woman was carrying a coffin to be buried. Do you ever find yourself in a situation in life where you're in the presence of God, and yet you're carrying something that you don't want to carry? Hello? Am I speaking to anyone tonight? Do you ever find yourself in a situation where maybe you're here tonight? You see, I'm not here talking to people tonight who don't have any problems. Okay? In fact, I'm going to give you a get-out clause right now. If you're here tonight and you're sat there and you have no problems whatsoever, You can leave this meeting right now. Go home. Go and get something to eat. Stick on the television. Because this word's not for you tonight. This word is for someone tonight. And you've come to the house of God tonight. But you're carrying something that you don't want to carry. You see, whatever that may be. You may be here tonight and you may be carrying pain. You may be carrying sickness. You may be carrying an addiction. You may be carrying a sin that you're trying to get over. You may be carrying anxiety. You may be carrying depression. Whatever it may be, you may be carrying worry about a family member, a burden about a son, a daughter, a grandchild. Whatever it is, you're sat there in the presence of God tonight and you're carrying something that you don't want to carry. Yeah. Who knows that that woman did not want to carry that coffin? Yeah, that's right. You know, I became a father 6 months ago. We have a six-month-old boy, Judah, back home. And let me tell you, I cannot imagine a worse situation than what this woman was in. I cannot imagine a more heartbreaking, devastating situation than carrying the coffin of my only child to a cemetery. And that's what this woman found herself in. You see, that coffin represented many things for that woman. That coffin represented sickness. It represented death. It represented bereavement. It represented pain and heartache and sorrow and nights crying out to God for God to bring breakthrough and yet breakthrough not coming. That coffin represented maybe a little bit of bitterness. Why has this happened to me? Have you ever been there? Maybe she was looking around. Maybe in the crowd that day, there were other parents and they were holding their boy and their girl by the hand, walking with them. And maybe she was looking at those other parents with their happy, healthy children and thinking, God, why has this happened to me? Maybe that woman, maybe there was an anger there, even towards God. Because as a Jewish lady, she would have been a faithful believer in the God of Israel. And yet her God had let her down as far as she was concerned. She prayed, she cried out. You're not telling me that her boy would have been sick and she would have not offered up a prayer to God. And yet that prayer had not brought the answer that she wanted. You ever been there? Maybe there was guilt there. Maybe, if I hadn't taken him to that place, if I'd have looked after him a little bit better, maybe he'd have not got sick. Have you ever been there? Where your life has turned in a certain direction and you know that it's because of the wrong choices that you made. And now you're there sat in the house of God tonight, even a child of God, and yet you're carrying that guilt. You're carrying that shame. You're carrying that condemnation. And just like that woman was carrying that coffin, you are sat in the presence of God tonight, carrying something and desperate for that burden to be lifted. And so here's this woman with this crowd carrying that coffin, and she's moving towards the cemetery. What she didn't realize was this. That her movement would lead to her miracle. You see, every step she took, she didn't realize this, but every step she took was a step closer to Jesus. You see, you know one thing that pain does? Pain has an awful habit of paralyzing us. You see, this woman could have fallen apart. And she could have sat at home weeping and crying and thinking that her life was over. Because as far as she was concerned, it was. You see, with no husband, no son in that society, how was she even going to provide for herself? With all the emotional grief, there was also a financial need there. We're talking real life here. And she could have stayed where she was, heartbroken and devastated. But this woman did one thing right. She started to move. And I want to tell somebody tonight, just keep moving. Just keep going. You see, I started to travel as an evangelist for 15 years. I was on staff as a youth pastor and associate pastor at a church. And I can't tell you that the amount of times when something would happen to someone, and they would stop moving. Oh, this has happened in my family. This has happened in my situation. I'm going to take a break from church for a few weeks. Oh, I don't think I can carry on serving in church because I'm carrying this thing. Hello? I've known people, you know, that maybe they're going through a financial difficulty. Maybe they're going through an upset. Maybe they're going through a bereavement. And I don't want to be unnecessarily unsympathetic. But I've known people who said, you know what? I just need a break from the praise and worship team. I need a break from just helping out in the youth ministry. Or I just need a few months off from being an usher in the church. The pain causes them to be paralyzed. If that woman would have stayed where she was, she would have never got to her miracle. And one thing I love about this woman is carrying her pain, carrying her brokenness, carrying her heartache, she kept moving forward. And I want to prophesy to someone here tonight, just keep moving. Keep moving. Who knows that for that woman, that was the longest walk of her life. Who knows, for some people tonight, the greatest step of faith is just, maybe for some people here tonight, it was an incredible step of faith just to come to this meeting tonight. Hello? Maybe for some people here tonight, just to lift up your hands in praise and worship was a step of faith. Maybe for some of you tonight, just saying the name of Jesus. Because who knows, it's easy to come to church when everything's going well. Who knows, it's easy to praise God when you don't have a care in the world. Who knows, it's easy to keep, we talk about the walk of faith. Who knows, it's easy to take a walk of faith when we don't have any problems. But who knows that when you're carrying the dead body of your only son, and yet you can still keep moving. Who knows, friends, it's those kinds of people that are in pole position for a miracle. Am I preaching to someone tonight? Yes. Keep moving. Don't ever allow your pain to paralyze you. Yes. Keep taking those steps of faith. Keep serving. Keep giving everything you have. Keep lifting up your hands in worship. Because every step that she took was a step closer to Jesus. Yes. And friends, you see, her destination was a graveyard, but her destiny was going to be revival. Her destination was she was going to lower the casket of her son into the ground, but her destiny was her and her boy were going to walk home carrying that coffin home. We don't need that today, boy. And one thing I've discovered about Jesus is this, that Jesus is able to turn your destination around into a glorious destiny. 2 years ago, I was ministering in Kenya, and the pastor took us into a prison to minister. Now, I've never been in a prison in my life, so I thought, this will be interesting, and it was. It was like going into a movie scene. The prisoners were there in black and white striped uniform. They had a ball and chain around their ankles. The guards had machine guns. And I thought that we'd be preaching kind of, you know, behind some screen glass or something. But I was just talking to them just like I'm talking to you. And they were, you know, all these hardened criminals there. And we preached the gospel in the prison, and praise God, we saw dozens of the prisoners give their lives to Christ. And I thought, praise God, that's been a great service, let's go. And then the pastor, he dropped this bombshell. He said, right, we want the team from England to go and lay hands on all those who have responded to the gospel. And I was looking, does he mean me? I thought, I hope they really were born again. So we started to go down the line praying. And there was a guy there, and the Holy Spirit just gave me a word for him. And I just knew God had spoken. And so I said to him, sir, through the interpreter, sir, God has brought you into this prison for a purpose because he wanted to meet with you here. But very soon you are going to be released from this prison. And when you are on the outside, you are going to serve God. Well, when I gave this word, the people around me began to laugh. So afterwards, I said, I forgot about it. And then we were at lunch afterwards. I said, oh, yeah, when I gave that word, because for me, it wasn't a big deal, you know, to give somebody a prophetic word, you know. I said, why were you laughing? Oh, they said, oh, it was so funny what you said. They said, you don't understand. That man is in prison for murder. And he is under a life sentence. And I'll never forget these words. They said, in Kenya, life means life. They said, this man is going to die in this prison. That was his destination. But God had a different destiny. You see, I just said, well, I just gave the word, never mind. 2 weeks later, I got an email from the pastor said, "You'll never believe what's happened." He said there was a problem in that prison with overcrowding. And the government have never done this before, ever in the history of that prison. But they made a search of all the prisoners who were in just for minor crime. And they put their names in a list and just released them to make more room for more serious criminals. And they said, for some reason that no one can explain, this man's name got on the list. And one day he was just there in his prison cell, and the guard opened the door and said, "Sir, you are free to go." And he just walked out of the jail. And the pastor said, "I know that because on Sunday he turned up at my church saying, 'God's fulfilled the first part of the prophecy. He set me free. I'm here to fulfill the second part. What can I do to serve Jesus?'" And you see, friends, I'm telling you that story for this simple reason. That man had a destination. You are going to die in this prison. But his destiny was, you are going to serve God. And friends, there are some of you here tonight, and you may have a destination. Your life may be heading in a certain destination. Maybe for some of you here tonight, the doctors have said there's no hope that that sickness will ever be cured. Maybe for some of you here tonight, the doctors have said you are going to be on medication. You are going to be in that pain for the rest of your life. Maybe for some of you here tonight, it looks like the destination of your marriage is divorce. Maybe for some of you here tonight, it looks like the destination your kids are going is they're going to end up in jail. Maybe for some of you here tonight, your destination, it looks like you're going to lose your home because you can't pay the bills. Maybe for some of you here, you may look at your destination and all you can see is the word hopeless. But I want to declare tonight that God is a God who is able to turn your destination around into His glorious destiny. And the Bible says He knows the plans He has for you. Plans to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. And it doesn't matter how dark your destination looks. In Jesus, your destiny is glorious. Can somebody say amen tonight? So this woman is moving, taking these steps of faith. What she had no idea was this, that the very answer to a problem was coming the other way. You see, as she was coming out of the town, Jesus was coming in. Oh, aren't you so glad that Jesus always comes? Now, maybe, it was a coincidence that the very moment that woman was going out of the town was the very moment Jesus was coming in. Or maybe, just maybe, Jesus turned up right on time. Are you so glad that Jesus always turns up? That Jesus always turns up. You see, naturally, this woman, she must have thought that it was too late. And naturally, it was too late. But for Jesus, it was right on time. And some of you may be here tonight, you may think it's too late for me. Maybe there was a time when Jesus could have turned up, but He never did. Friends, I want to tell you tonight that Jesus always comes. It may not be on our time scale. It may not be on when we want Him to come, but He always comes. I love what it says in Song of Songs. Here He comes, leaping over the mountains, bounding over the hills. I'm so glad that Jesus, He will move mountains just to get to us. He will skip over obstacles just to get to us. And Jesus met that woman right at her darkest hour, right at her time of greatest need. There was Jesus. Friends, I want to tell you tonight, you may be at your darkest hour tonight, but Jesus has come to meet with you tonight. Friends, it's not a coincidence that you're in the presence of God tonight. Friends, Jesus is here tonight to meet with you, to turn your situation around. You see, this woman, as she was heading out of the town, carrying the coffin of her son, coming towards her was the one who is the resurrection and the life. Coming towards her was the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. coming towards her was the one who is the name above all names, the King above all kings, and the Lord above all lords. Coming towards her was the one who is the bright morning star, who is the Word of God, who is the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. Coming towards her was the one who is the captain of the hosts of heaven. Coming towards her was Emmanuel, God with us. Coming towards her is the one who was the Savior and the healer and the deliverer. Coming towards her was God's one and only Son, God in flesh. Coming towards her was the bread of life. Coming towards her was the one who created the heavens and the earth. Coming towards her was the Word made flesh. Coming towards her was God's one and only Son. Coming towards her was the one who is able to break every chain. Coming towards her was Jesus. And that same Jesus is here tonight. And right there, at the gate, these two crowds would meet. But this was more than a meeting of two crowds. This was a collision in the spirit realm. Right there at the gate of this town, Nain, there was going to be a collision between the presence of darkness and the presence of Jesus. There was going to be a collision between the presence of death and life. There was going to be a collision between despair and the living hope. There was going to be a collision between grief and the one anointed with joy. In this collision, who would win? Now, I'm no scientist, but I know this, that when two forces collide, the greater force always overcomes the weaker force. Hello? Who knows that tonight, if I decided to walk out of here and cross the road, and a huge truck came, traveling at 70 miles an hour, and just drove straight over me, who knows that I'm going to have more than just a few cuts and bruises? Because when something so big, so powerful collides with little old me, the effect on that truck is going to be minimal, but the effect on me is going to be great. Because we all know that when two objects collide, the weaker one is always overcome by the stronger one. And in this collision between death and life, life was always going to win. In this collision between despair and hope, hope was always going to win. In this collision between grief and joy, joy was always going to win. In this collision between darkness and Jesus, Jesus was always going to win. Because Jesus is always stronger. Jesus is always greater. I love how Paul puts it, that the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. That means that no matter how big your situation is, Jesus is bigger. No matter how strong your situation seems to be, Jesus is always stronger. No matter how great your problem seems to be, Jesus is always greater. And when our problem collides with Jesus, Jesus wins. When our issue collides with Jesus, Jesus wins. Can somebody say amen tonight? You see, the Bible says, let me preach to you, that God's love is stronger than our fears, because perfect love casts out fear. God's grace is stronger than our sin, because if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive our sin. God's provision is stronger than our lack, for my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches in Christ. God's presence is stronger than our bondage, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. God's Word is stronger than our situations, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Jesus' sacrifice is stronger than our sickness, for by His stripes I am healed. And God's strength is stronger than our weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And his power was made perfect in my weakness. On this occasion, in this collision, there was only going to be one winner. There was only going to be one who was triumphant. And his name is Jesus. Can somebody say amen tonight? You see, we live in a world of need. Let me preach to somebody tonight. You're here tonight and you don't know Jesus. You see, the reason this world is full of pain and upset and sickness and abuse and all these horrific things, God didn't create the world like that. God created the world perfect. But mankind sinned. Mankind rebelled against God. And so this whole world came under a curse. But 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came and died on a cross. And as Jesus shed his blood on that cross, as blood flowed from his hands and his feet and his back and his side and his head, the blood of Jesus hit that dusty Jerusalem ground. And when the blood of Jesus collided with a sin-cursed world, there was only going to be one winner in that collision, and that was the blood of Jesus. And when the blood of Jesus collided with a world full of need, a world full of hate, the power in that blood broke every curse. That curse of sickness, that curse of sin, that curse of despair, that curse of hopelessness. When the blood of Jesus collided with this world, the blood of Jesus overcame. The Bible says that the blood cries out a greater word than the blood of Abel. You see, the blood speaks tonight, and the blood speaks a stronger, a louder word than your sin. The blood of Jesus speaks a greater word than your addiction. The blood of Jesus speaks a greater word than your past. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word than your sickness tonight. And friends, if you will cry out to Jesus, his blood will collide with your sin, and every curse, every bondage is broken, and you leave this place free tonight. Let me be blunt tonight. The Bible says if you don't know Jesus, then your destination is hell. Your destination is an eternity separated from God. But because of the blood of Jesus, that destination can be turned to a glorious destiny called heaven, eternal life, a son, a daughter of Almighty God. And if you will cry out, Jesus, wash me in your blood tonight. Cleanse me. Forgive me of my sin. He will come in. And in that collision, your destination, your destiny is changed. You see, who knows that there's a kingdom of darkness at work? You don't have to turn on the television and watch for very long to know that there's a very real kingdom of darkness. But 2,000 years ago, Jesus came bringing another kingdom. And wherever Jesus went, there was a collision between two kingdoms. I love what Jesus said. If I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. Are you so glad tonight that it only took the finger of God to cast out demons? Hello? Jesus is so powerful, it only takes his little finger to cast out devils. And wherever Jesus went, there was that collision between two kingdoms. And the kingdom of God is always greater than the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of Jesus is always greater than the kingdom of Satan. The first time I was in Argentina in 2012, I'll never forget preaching in a church on a Sunday morning. And there was a man in that service who was a witch. And in fact, his brother was the head witch of that city. And he was, I don't know why he was in the service, but he was in the service. And I was preaching that morning on, there's power in the name of Jesus. And right there in that service, there was about to be a collision between two kingdoms. About 20 minutes into the message, this man began to manifest an evil spirit. And the deacons, God bless them, you know, he was demon possessed. That church was deacon possessed. They started to take the man out of the meeting because he was causing a fuss. And I said, what are you doing? Don't take him outside. Bring him in. bring him to the front. So they brought him to the front, and I stopped preaching and started to minister. And in the space of about an hour, we saw that man set free from many demons. We saw him, we broke an addiction to pornography off of his life. He gave his life to Jesus. He was filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. And at the end of the service, his wife and little girl came and gave their lives to Christ as well. You see, the kingdom of God collided with the kingdom of darkness, and the kingdom of God overcame. And friends, I want to tell you tonight that when you lift up the name of Jesus, a kingdom comes. When you start to declare the promises of God, the kingdom comes. When you start to lift your voice in worship, the kingdom comes. And when God's kingdom comes, every other kingdom has to go. Has to go. Friends, there's going to be a collision in a few minutes tonight with the kingdom of God and people's needs. And let me tell you, whatever other kingdom has been hassling you tonight, that other kingdom is going tonight in the name of Jesus. And God's kingdom, God's rule, God's way. Hallelujah. Can I have a few more minutes? Very quickly, I want us to turn to another scripture. Just turn quickly to Acts 3. Because I want you to see something. We don't have time to read the whole passage, but let me just quickly read through a few verses, Acts 3. This is another collision. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at a time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking, jumping, and praising God. This man is... Can I just challenge you for a few minutes? We'll finish on a high note, don't worry. But I want to challenge you for a moment, because there's something about the Western church that concerns me greatly. See, who knows that this man had a need? I mean, later on it tells us he was 40 years old, he was crippled from birth. Who knows that that's a pretty big need right there? Now, and this man was at the gate, at the door of the house of God. Now, who knows tonight? There are needs in this room tonight. But who knows that there's a community out of these doors that's also got great need? Or is that just my town where I'm from? Who knows that in every church has its beggar at the door. Every church has those on its own doorstep who are broken, bound in sin, bound in abuse, bound in addiction, and desperate for a collision with heaven. Now, I want you to notice the difference between this woman and this man. You see, the woman in Luke 7 was moving towards Jesus. Just like you tonight, you've come into the presence of Jesus. But who knows, this man here in Acts 3, he physically couldn't move anywhere. And who knows that, although it's true tonight, that we've walked into the presence of God, who knows that in our community tonight, there are many people who either have no ability or no desire to come into the presence of God tonight. But you see, this man was also going to have a collision with God that day. Because moving towards this man was not Jesus, but the church. And the church that day, as they were walking, as they were carrying the gospel, as they were carrying the fire of the Holy Ghost, they came and collided with this man who was in need. What I love about this passage is this. Just a few days before it, the Bible says that the disciples were in a house with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. Do you know that's where the devil has got the church in the Western world? Just right now, there was a news story back from back in the UK today. A woman lost her job because she shared her faith with a Muslim at work. And so do you know what people start to do in the church? Well, I'm not going to share my faith then. I don't want to lose my job because that's more important than people being rescued from hell. Hello? You've got to love me. The Bible tells you so. So what do? We're in the house with the doors locked out of fear. But now, Peter and John, I love this. Just a few days before, they've got the doors locked for fear of the Jews. Now where are they going? They're going up to the temple, the very center of Jewish religion. You see, what had happened on the day of Pentecost, these men had encountered the fire of God, and deity and humanity collided. And in that collision, these men were filled with boldness. They were filled with fire. They were filled with an anointing from on high. And they became fiery witnesses for Christ. And now here they are. Instead of keeping the darkness locked out, they are going for a head-on collision with darkness. Because who knows? Church, who knows? That's why we're here. We are not here to keep the doors locked and keep the darkness out. We're here to collide with darkness. Knowing that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Peter and John said, look at us. Why didn't they say, look at Jesus? Because the only Jesus that man was ever going to see was the Jesus in Paul, in Peter, and the Jesus in John. Who knows? The only Jesus that these heroin addicts are going to see is a Jesus in you. Oh, I couldn't go and preach with pastor in the town because, you know, what if they get me? I couldn't share my faith. What if no one listens? Friends, do we believe that the anointing, the kingdom that is in us is greater than any need, any problem, any situation that we will face? And when we collide with the beggars at the door, the beggars are going to get up on their feet, walking, leaping, praising God. Because in that collision with the gospel and a broken and hurting world, the gospel is more powerful. The gospel is more powerful. We just got back from Argentina where we saw the Holy Ghost do incredible things. In one of the services there was an 8-year-old girl who from birth had been blind in one eye. And as I laid hands upon her and just prayed in the name of Jesus and took my hand away, and she said, I can see perfectly. And she began to cry, and I said, what's wrong? Are you upset? She said, no, Jesus just healed me forever. Who knows? That's the gospel. That's the gospel. In one of those services, there was an 18-year-old girl, and she'd been born with a spinal condition, which meant that she was unable to walk, and all her body was twisted and deformed. She had these leg braces on, and she'd never been able to walk without these braces. And as I prayed for her, the Holy Spirit came upon her. She fell to the floor under the power of God. And I knelt by the side of her and just laid my hands on her legs. And as I did so, I heard bones cracking and moving back into place. I said to the mother, look, God's doing something here. The moment she comes round, take those leg braces off and see what's happened. Just a few moments later, she was walking unaided for the first time in her life. You see, friends, When the gospel collides with sickness, the gospel wins. When the gospel collides with sin, the gospel wins. When the gospel collides with darkness, the gospel wins. When the gospel collides with the broken, needy, hurting world, the gospel wins. But what God is looking for and what this world is desperate for are those people who will say, I will take the good news, I will take the Holy Spirit that I have, and I will go and collide with darkness, believing that what is in me will overcome that which is in the world. Can someone say amen tonight? I want to close with this observation. Those of you who know your Bibles, or those who have been paying attention, the woman that we read about, the collision that we read about in Luke's gospel, whereabouts did that take place? And what part of the town did it take place? At the gate, yeah? Acts chapter 3, where did this collision take place? In the temple. At the gate of the temple. What was the name of the gate in Acts 3? The beautiful gate. Do you know what the name Nain means in the original language? It means beautiful. Both of these incidents, both of these collisions took place at the beautiful gate. Now, maybe that's just a coincidence. Or maybe the Holy Ghost is showing us something. That miracles take place at a beautiful gate. That resurrection takes place at a beautiful gate. That restoration takes place at a beautiful gate. Jesus gave him back to his mother. That which was lost, Jesus was able to restore. The Holy Ghost says tonight, for someone here tonight, that which was lost, Jesus is going to put it back in your hands. But it takes place at the gate. Breakthrough comes at the beautiful gate. Joy comes at the beautiful gate. Salvation comes at the beautiful gate. You see, this woman, despite carrying this hurt and this upset and this despair and this grief, she managed to get to the beautiful gate. And this man, even though he couldn't walk, even though probably someone had to carry him, he managed to get to the beautiful gate. And tonight, you might be here, you might not think you have much faith, you might not have much strength, you might not even have the courage to carry on tonight. But if you can just get to the beautiful gate, what is the beautiful gate? Well, 2,000 years ago, a Jewish rabbi stood up and said these words, I am the gate for the sheep. You see, the gate, friends, tonight is the presence of Jesus. And when religion says, you stay on the outside until you've got all your problems sorted and then you can come in, the gospel says, no, bring your problem to the gate. Bring your sickness to the gate. Bring your sin to the gate. Bring your despair to the gate. Because at the gate, in the presence of Jesus, a divine exchange takes place. If you will bring your ashes into the gate, he will give you a crown of beauty. If you bring your mourning into the gate, he'll give you the oil of gladness. And if you bring despair into the gate, he'll give you a garment of praise. Tonight, will you come into the presence of Jesus? Are you carrying something tonight that you don't want to carry? Well, Jesus said, all those who are weary and burdened, if you're carrying something, if you're carrying a burden, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Why don't we just close our eyes, bow our heads right now? And have someone just come and just start a play. Thank you. Now I want you to listen very carefully to these final three things I want to say. You see, the Bible says three things about this woman. The first thing he says is this: when he saw her, his heart went out to her. And I want to tell someone tonight that Jesus loves you. I want to tell you tonight that he's got a heart of love and compassion and mercy towards you. Then the second thing, and I want you to listen very carefully to this. The Bible says he touched the coffin. The very source of her pain, Jesus touched it. Listen very carefully, church. If you want Jesus to resurrect it, you have to let Jesus touch it. You see, in church, we're so good at covering up our pain. We're so good at putting on that Christian mask that says, praise God, isn't God good, brother? When inside we just feel our world's falling apart. But tonight you have to let Jesus touch it. That thing that's painful. Right now I just feel that there's someone here and you suffered some kind of abuse in the past. And right now you have to let Jesus touch it. You have to let Jesus touch it. Don't hold it back. Don't cover it up anymore. Let Jesus touch it. And then the third thing, he said to the boy, I say to you, get up. Probably a day or two before, doctors had said, he's dead, there's nothing more we can do. But now the master came with another word. And his word superseded every other word. Tonight what matters is what Jesus says. And he comes to you tonight with a word of resurrection, a word of hope, and a word of liberty. Right now, while everyone's got their eyes closed, their head bowed, I want three responses tonight. The first one is this: is there anyone here tonight and you do not know Jesus? This Jesus that I've been talking about tonight. This Jesus who loves you with a passion. This Jesus who left heaven to collide with your sin so that you could be saved and forgiven and have eternal life. Do you know him tonight? If there's anyone here tonight and you do not know Jesus in a personal way, you may know church, you may know religion, that won't do anything. What matters is, do you know Jesus? If you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus and you want to get to know him, then while every eye's closed, every head's bowed, I just want you to lift your hand up in the air right now and then you can put it down again. I'm going to pause just for a few seconds. Thank you. Anyone else tonight, you don't know Jesus, just lift your hand. Okay, just for that one person tonight, it's worth it.
Yes.
So listen, even though this is what we're going to do, we're all going to repeat these words out loud. For that person that raised their hands, this is the greatest prayer you will ever pray. The prayer to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. I don't want this lady to feel embarrassed, so let's all just pray this out loud together. Say, Father God,
Father God,
I come to you tonight. I know that I'm a sinner. and that I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, I believe you are that Savior. Would you come into my life? Would you wash away my sin and give me eternal life? In Jesus' name. Now, everyone's got their eyes closed, their heads bowed. This is the second appeal. Is there anyone here tonight, and you can be honest and say, preacher, I'm here tonight in the presence of God, but I'm carrying something that I don't want to carry, and I need Jesus to lift it off of me tonight. If that's you, why don't you raise your hand right now? Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. All those that raised their hands, and there were lots of you, so don't think that you're going to be on your own. I just want you to stand to your feet right now where you are. Okay, the final appeal is this. So you here tonight, and when I was talking about us taking the gospel and colliding with a needy world, you may be here tonight, and you may not have a particular need or a problem, but you recognize that this world does, that this community does. And you want tonight that collision with the fire of God, that collision with the Holy Ghost, that He will give you that boldness and that power and that anointing to go and win souls in this community and to do the works of Christ and even greater works. That's you tonight. Why don't you just stand to your feet right now? Hallelujah. In a moment, I'm going to hand over to Pastor Shane. He's going to say a few words, and then I'm going to start to minister to people. Hallelujah. This young lady here. Yeah. Just come here. Hallelujah. Just close your eyes. Spirit of God's been touching you all service. Right now, every yoke that you've been carrying is lifted right now in Jesus' name. And the Spirit of God says tonight, you are not defined by your past. And you are not defined by what has happened to you. And you are not defined by what people have done to you. Tonight, the only thing that defines you is what Jesus did for you 2,000 years ago. And when Jesus died on that cross, He cried out, "It is finished." And I declare right now over your life tonight, I take authority right now over everything of the past that has tried to hold you back. And I declare right now, it is finished. Yeah. Father, I speak the blood of Jesus Christ over her right now. And I declare right now that everything that the enemy has tried to put upon her is broken right now in Jesus' name. And this night you leave free, and free indeed. You are not defined by the past. Your new identity is you are a daughter of Almighty God. You are chosen and precious in His sight. Just stay under that anointing right now.
Attitude of worship. before we allow him to minister some more, I want to take an offering for him. Just in the attitude of worship, the fellows would come. We want to prepare to take an offering, and then we're going to allow him to minister to us. Folks, I've been preaching a long time, 27 years, 28 years. I've evangelized, preached tent meetings, preached on the street. That's where I learned to preach, was on the street. And there's nothing that I love and honor more than the gift of an evangelist. And Andrew just has just a powerful, powerful evangelistic heart. It's one of the best messages that I've ever heard preached here in this church. Powerful, powerful message. Before we pray over this offering, as he was talking, something hit me. And there are some things in my life I'm real careful about sharing, just because of the fact of the nature of what they are. I kind of protect some things just because, one, it's at times they've been painful places in my life that I sometimes have a hard time sharing. But as I realize, sitting there, that all of us have places in our life that we need Jesus to touch. When I was 5 years old, I was playing outside of the house of the project we were living in. We was living in a place called Hamster Hill, which was a kind of a housing project. My mother was working in a bar, and my father was working, and I had a 15-year-old brother that was supposed to be watching us, but, you know, he was doing whatever. And I got out of my house, and I went and climbed a tree. I saw a tree house that I wanted to play in. I climbed that tree house. And when I got to the top of that tree house at 5 years old, I began to look down through the opening of that treehouse, and I got dizzy. And I fell about a story or so, 10 or 15 feet, and I landed on my back. And I had broken my collarbone. And so my mother wasn't around, and my brothers had carried me to the house. In those days, you know, my mother, who knows when she would come home. Some days it'd be 2 days, 3 days. So I laid in a bed for 3 days. And I couldn't move. And it got so bad that I had defecated onto myself because I couldn't move. And then finally, when my mother came home, she took me to the hospital. And everybody that touched me up to that point, I felt the pain of that broken collarbone. I could just feel the pain. It's just like somebody, when you break something and somebody touches it, you just, boom, you're just out of it. But when I got to the hospital, my grandmother showed up. And my grandmother was a godly woman. And thank God for her prayers. But it was like, when she came into the room and when she touched it, there was just a peace that came on me that everything was going to be all right. I mean, even to this day, I feel that peace. Just that when everybody else touched it, it was just painful. But when she touched it, there was a security about it. And it's just like areas of our life when we become painful and they hurt us and they're deep and they're strong, and when people in the natural begins to poke at it and touch it, there's a pain that's there. But when Jesus touches it, if you let Jesus touch it, there's a peace comes, and a comfort that comes in the presence of God. And And that's what's happening here tonight. Some of you have had pains that have been touched in the natural, and they've just been irritating to you, and it's like somebody poking you, and you just want people to leave you alone. But I'm telling you tonight, if you'll let Jesus just touch that area of your life, there'll be a peace and a comfort that comes on you, that there'll be a comfort. And I just feel somebody needed to hear that tonight. So I want you to give tonight. I want you to bless Andrew. Father, we just thank you for this powerful word. We just thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit that brings us life. Now, Father, we just pray that you bless this offering as we give. We pray, God, that you will allow it to be a blessing to Andrew to go all over the world and touch many, many lives. So, Father, we pray the same anointing that's on his life would be a residue that's left here. Now, bless this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maintain that presence, folks. Go ahead, Mark. Let's just sing a verse of this. This is what we're going to do tonight. I want to have Andrew pray for everyone that wants to be prayed for. If you have a need in your life tonight, you have a place that needs to be touched by the presence of God, I want you just to come down here tonight. Just line up along the front here. I'm just going to have Andrew come through and just lay hands on you, pray for you quickly. Just let the presence of God has his way. If you have a need tonight, just come on down and let us pray for you tonight. Just step out of where you are. It's all right. Come on down. We want to pray for folks tonight. Hallelujah. Some of you need to be free. Let God touch some areas of your life that need to be touched.
I also want to pray for anyone tonight, and you just want that impartation of just the fire of God to give you that boldness for evangelism. So even if you've not got a specific need and you just want to be used by God to win souls, I just want to pray right now, just an anointing to be imparted into you. Hallelujah. 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 Why don't we just lift our hands right now? Even if you're not out the front tonight, remember what we said. When we praise and worship, the kingdom comes. So even if you're not out at this altar, there our brothers and sisters in Christ are. So you just create an atmosphere of worship where God's kingdom can come. Friends, the presence of God's here in a powerful way.
Yes.
Just right now where you are, just fix on Jesus. Just drink in of his presence. Oh, Rasha. I don't know who this is for, but right now, I rebuke any suicidal thoughts right now. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I break that spirit right now. Fire of God, come right now. Shh. Oh, Ramashimonada.